Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, joins Thaddeus McCutter and myself. We begin with a quote from The Economist magazine in these last hours. America and Iran are playing a perilous balancing act. Iran has helped its allies in the, quote, axis of resistance to stage attacks intended to weaken Israel, displace America, and discredit Arab states that have made peace or seek to with Israel. America, for its part, has engaged in limited retaliation. Both have avoided a direct clash, but the equilibrium may not hold. Thaddeus, you have a question for Malcolm.
Yes, Malcolm, what do we know about the Houthis' relationship with Iran? It's obvious, it's patent, and it's becoming increasingly intense in terms of its attacks on the United States and our allies. What can you tell us?
Well, good evening to both of you. And it's absolutely right. It's becoming more and more apparent, even to the most skeptical of voices. The Houthis, in fact, as you know, we lost two of our SEALs who were boarding a ship with an illicit shipment of Iranian weapons, new Iranian weapons going to the Houthis. The Houthis seem to have stockpiled huge amounts of weapons. We've been striking them every day now for, 2 weeks? And they continue to fire even today. And today they shot a missile right near an American warship that was in the Red Sea. So their capacity is sustained. We also know that the Iranians have been moving weapons by truck to other ports in the western part of Iran. And they were visible on the main roads. People have been reporting the sighting of this. The United States has committed itself to continuing to strike at the launchers. It's surprising that the Houthis can withstand so long, but so it's true of the Hamas also. People don't understand how embedded they are within the societies. And if you want to avoid civilian casualties as much as you can, they become necessary. The head of the Fifth Fleet, the United States Fifth Fleet, said today that Iran's talked about Iran's direct involvement with the Houthis and said that they are continuing to supply them. I think the Houthis are trying to be in the forefront of this battle. What's interesting is that Iran is used to working through their surrogates, Hamas, Hezbollah, certainly the Houthis, the armed groups in Syria and Iraq. But the fact that they got directly involved in some of the recent attacks on Iraq and on Pakistan does represent a shift, I think. The designation by the United States of the Houthis, not as a foreign terrorist organization, which is a higher level of sanction, but as special designated foreign terrorist, which does not carry with it the restrictions on travel to the U.S. or on funding or in other areas. Our hope is that the United States will upgrade that as we continue the efforts against them. But I think it's reflective of how the commitment of Iran through all of its proxies to sustain this war and to try to attack American interests in Israel from all sides.
Malcolm, we have to attend to the nuclear weapons program, the suspect nuclear weapons program, that began many years ago as part of the debate about the so-called Iran deal. What do we know about Iran and its weapons program, given that they just attacked a nuclear power in Pakistan?
Yes, a very strange thing. And the Pakistanis, of course, attacked back, but that could easily escalate. Many people were surprised that the Iranians would go that far. You know, they're attacking people in Baluchistan, which both consider a threat, but the crossing of the border and then returning the fire across the border was certainly an escalation. And we're seeing, by the way, numerous escalations. As we saw, 70 Americans have been injured in the attacks of the pro-Iranian militias in Iraq and Syria. I think about 120 since October, but it was going on long before it. All the evidence today is that the Iranians' nuclear program is going ahead. The IEA says they do not have access, but that they believe the enrichment process is sped up. Some say it would take a week. Some say it would take a shorter short period of a couple of months for them to reach 90% enrichment, which is a weapons grade. But more than that, we saw the launch this week of a ballistic missile, which the United States acknowledged is not to just to put the satellite in orbit. It's not a significant satellite, but it's to advance their ballistic missile program, which is sanctioned. And now this is the second such launch. And we believe that they are getting information all the time, which enhances their ability that once they have a nuclear weapon to be able to deliver it, even to the United States.
That is.
Malcolm, what do we know about the status of the hostages and why is there skepticism regarding more hostage releases?
So, unfortunately, the evidence was discovered in the last days that more of the hostages were killed on October 7th. People believe they've been hostages and their bodies are being held in Gaza, which is why Israel has tried to exhume bodies that they places in two cemeteries that obviously intelligence indicated may have been the bodies of some of the hostages. Others of the hostages are being used as human shields for Sinwar and some of the other Hamas leadership. Israel has said that this is a top priority, is to get the hostages back and to get and to see an end to the certainly the leadership and the infrastructure of Hamas. It is a very complicated battle. As you know, there are almost 500 miles of underground tunnels. When you think of the huge investment of money, cement, the resources, the steel that could have been used to build all sorts of facilities in Gaza were used to build these. And they've already uncovered almost 6,000 of the shafts entering these underground labyrinth, which is very sophisticated. Some of it 30 and 40 meters deep and more. So the proposals that are being made are really for unconditional release of the prisoners in Israel's jails, people who were involved in terrorist attacks. Sinwar was, in fact, released in one of these exchanges. And what the history of them has shown is that they are a majority of them become recidivists. They end up being involved in terror again. They took hundreds of Israeli lives from people who were released over the years in these prisoner exchanges where Israel gives up one or two people in exchange for hundreds of these terrorists that they release. So the skepticism in Israel about the offers that are being made, people are desperate to get the hostages back. They don't want this war to have to continue. They don't want to see their young people die. But the commitment and the spirit of the troops is amazing. And they understand why they're there. They know it. They see the denial that's taking place. The people who are writing and going online denying even that October 7th took place just within months. And the Hamas put out an 18-page document denying virtually every aspect of what they did, even though it's a lot of it is on film, although a lot of it has been well-documented by foreign press, not just by Israeli press. They are already engaged in this process to deny and distort the reality of what happened. And nobody wants to see this continue in the part of Israel. They don't want a war. But they can't let it finish with Hamas being able to regroup and just reformulate the threat to Israel in a short period of time. By the way, they're online attacking Egypt as well, Hamas. And Hamas has been working with this group in the Sinai that is against Sisi as well.
South Africa, Malcolm, part of the BRICS, the S in BRICS, in these last days, accusing Israel of genocide and urging the UN to step in. You tell me that Russia is now supporting South Africa's allegation. In English, genocide, it was a term created right after the Second War by a man named Lemkin to describe what yes. Churchill had said is a crime without a name. But it is being distorted and abused deliberately by South Africa and Russia. Are they being corrected at any level, Malcolm?
They're not being corrected. And the problem is that several countries without basis are joining this these efforts. And by every definition, Israel is not guilty of a deliberate attempt to genocide and all of the other legal terminations and definitions that are essential to this. If anything, they should be bringing up Syria and others on charges of genocide against Palestinians. You know that in since the Civil War in 2011, almost 5,000 Palestinians were killed, 15,000 wounded, according to their own groups, and thousands are being detained, thousands have gone missing. The same thing, by the way, in Lebanon, where they're not allowed to work and they're not allowed to have citizenship in any of these countries, whereas now 70% of Israeli Arabs just yesterday came out and said that they identify fully as Israelis, are embarrassed by October 7th. You know, it is turning facts on their head for this kind of campaign to try and identify Israel as being guilty of genocide when it responded to one of the worst attacks imaginable, the most barbaric action, people denying the rapes and things which they saw on the video. It's not something that is made up or was done secretly. Hamas advertises their crimes and made it very visible to people. So Russia joining is a move against the United States. It's showing dissatisfaction that Israel hasn't taken its side on the Ukraine front wanted things from Israel. And as they are trying to reposition themselves in the region and against the United States, they're taking this stand.
That is, you have a question.
Yes, Malcolm, what is the role of Qatar in fueling the spread of systemic anti-Semitism on America's college campuses?
Qatar is a critical player. We've traced billions of dollars, not millions, but billions of dollars that went to American universities with conditions. And universities allowed them to have to packages of scholarships to give out without condition to have an influence on faculty appointments. And universities never documented the money, even though they're required to. They don't specify where they got it from. They don't specify its use. They're certainly not paying any taxes on it. And we're talking about billions of dollars that have flowed to many universities and influenced their, particularly Middle East and Near East studies, their foreign affairs studies, bringing people to the campuses who are propagandists and not truth seekers. The role of Qatar in this is just being exposed more and more as we see the sharp increase of anti-Semitism, not just anti-Israel activities, but we're also seeing it in the high schools here in New York City, in Queens. There's the Qatari Foundation gave more than $1 million to schools to have these Arab clubs, but that winter there were big maps without Israel on it. It shows Palestine in the place of Israel. And the superintendent said, well, we've had these for 12 years. He removed them. But you know, the fact that this could go on for so long and we could see our kids being manipulated, then it's not a surprise to see what happens once they get to campuses and where the atmosphere, the anti-Semitic and anti-Allah, anti-Asian, anti-Hindu, anti-other groups too, but particularly the anti-Semitic atmosphere with the demonstrations and stuff, not based on information. It's online manipulation. It's these groups that have been in the formation for a long time with funding, foreign funding, domestic funding, that enables them to carry out these campaigns, blocking American streets, blocking our airports, our roads in this misguided effort. So we are seeing a tremendous increase. There was a study released just now showing that 25% of American hiring managers said they won't advance Jewish people in the hiring process. They acknowledge it. It's becoming pervasive in American society. It's a sickness. And we know what's happened to societies. Even if Jews are the first victims, they're never the last. It destroys society. It's a cancer that eats away at it. And every other group becomes a victim of it as well. So this is a time when we really have to take this very, very seriously. The facts are very clear. And I think we see it here. We see it in London, where people just on the street, if they were talking, heard speaking Hebrew, they beat them up. But we're having more and record numbers of physical assaults and anti-Semitic attacks of all kinds here in the United States.
Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness. I'm John Donovan.